Today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Tet, perfect for recording, and we're holding on the Mishnah of Kuf Lamed Chet Amud Beit. Says the Elik Mishnah, Ha'av Tolesh Uma'achil L'chol Mishi Yirtze, U'mashi Niach Tolush, Harehu Shel Yorshim. So in a case where a father was indeed Kotev Nechasav Livno, and he can do this, what's the din? That the Guf HaKarka is transferred to the Ben today, but the rights to the Perot remains in the hand of the Av for sure. The din over there would be, therefore, that as long as the Av lives, he can take the Perot and he can give it to whoever he wants, because those are still his, even though the Guf of the Karka is not. So therefore, it's not a problem. The only problem would be after he dies. Now, if he dies after having taken something out of the field, so that was Perot, that does not go only to that ben. That goes to all of the Yorshim together. So once he takes it off of the Karka, then it goes to all of the Yorshim. Now this is Dafka, as we'll see, someone who's Kotev Nechasav to his son. The truth is, of course, you could be Kotev Nechasav to anyone you wish, but in that case, whatever would be Mechuber Lekarka, even if it's left Mechuber Lekarka, also would go to the Yorshim. The reason for that is because we always assume that Da'ato Shel Adam is Krova to his own son. So in that case, the Rashbam Shita is that even if it's Ra'ui to be Oymed Litlov, in other words, it's already grown up, that nonetheless, it goes to the specific Ben, not to all of the Yorshim. Because the fact is that that's what he had in that, and even it's not a function of the technicality of whether he is considered to be mechuber lekarka, not mechuber lekarka. This element of things that grew on the karka but have not as yet been harvested is a question of what his das is. So therefore, where he's giving to his ben, since daita shel adam is karev etzel b'nai. So then even if it was roi already to be harvested, he still had it in mind as being part of the karka that he's giving to his son. In a case where he gives it to an acher, then the case, the halacha would be that anything that's mechuber lekarka would belong to the son specifically, not to all of the yorshim. Talush, says the Gemara, the diuk over here is that mashiniach talush is of the yorshim. But if it's mechubar, so then it would be considered to be part of the karka. And yet, the problem is, Hatanya, in fact, in the Braita, it says that if the son sold it to someone else, and then the father died, so if there are, in the Nechasim that he sold, things that are Mechuber Lekarka, so then the person that bought from the son is responsible for the value of those things. So now let's say he comes to collect, and he says, well, you sold me the Karka, obviously I couldn't collect it as long as your father was living, because he was the one that was able to take all the pares. But now that your father died, I want to take over the Karka. So the son says, but I mean, it's half-grown stuff that's there. What are we going to do about that? You don't have a right to that, because that's not part of the goof of the karka. So, shaminata mechubarim lelokeach. So what we do is we say, okay, you know what, take the karka, but add the money for the current value. If you're not going to add the money for the current value, then when it grows, the yorshim are going to take it from you, because you didn't pay for it. You have to leave it there now. But in any event, does it or does it not clearly say that the lokeach was not zocha in anything that's growing? He's only zocha in the guf hakarka. Now over here, he's being zocha in it through the bein from whom he bought it. So why, it doesn't make sense then. So why can't he take the chelek that the ben would have taken? According to what you just said, the ben would have received all of that for himself, not the yorshim as a whole, the specific ben. In this case, it happens to be he sold it to lokeach, fine. But I mean, whatever he sold is what it is that he had in it. So I don't get it. Either he does have that right or not. If he has that right, how can we be valuing it to the lokeach? Oh, Ma'ula, that's not a problem. We already saw this distinction before. The Lokasha, Kan Bivno. Remember, we're talking in our Mishnah, not that the son was Mesalik himself by selling it to somebody else. The Mishnah's talking about the son himself. The son himself who never sold B'chaye Ha'av. It's certainly true that Da'ato Shel Adam is Krova Etzel Beno. And Memela, he wants to be Makna to his son, everything. Including the things that are currently mechuber lekarka, even according to Rashbam, if they would be even roy to be taken off of the karka, because that's what he has in mind to give his son. But in this case, the son went ahead and sold it to somebody else. The father says to him, I'm trying to give you a gift. You're trying to sell it to somebody else. Be darned if I want you to have the mechubel karka. Why should I give it to you? So in that case, it would be the mechulak between all the yorshim. So therefore the lokeach now has to pay the yorshim. If he doesn't pay the yorshim, so then he's going to have to allow them to take it after it grows. No mela, there's no comparison. In the case, we saw this chalukah also earlier, where someone was mocher. So he was considered to be misalik himself. He's misalik himself. So obviously there's no din of krova etzel beno. Now this would be, of course, exactly the same in the case where a father had not been kesev libeno, but he was kesev to a stranger. If he was kesev to a stranger, we also wouldn't have said that he has a chelek b'mechubar, because we would have said it. But why would the person want to give him anything but the karka that he gave him? And therefore the other stuff would indeed go to the yorshi. So, k'reilek ha-mishnah, hiniar banim gedolim uktanim, ein adolim mitpanesin ayedei aktanim, suppose there is in an estate older children and younger children. Now, when it comes to being mefarnes means to give them things less, clothing and so on, not the nourishment. So generally speaking, the teenagers are going to want fancy clothes. But the little kids, you can get along without anything. On the other hand, the teenagers don't really eat normally, you know. So what are they going to eat? They're going to eat some pizza. Mashenkin, the kids, you're going to have to buy real food for them. Okay, so then that means that it's really unequal, because when it comes to buying clothes, the older kids are in Gap, you know, and the younger kids are shopping in Gula. I mean, so that means that the older kids are going to be depleting the estate at a higher rate than the younger kids are when it comes for clothes. On the other hand, when it comes to the makolet bill, so the younger ones are the ones that are going to be depleting their estate. Therefore, says the Mishnah, that is, we don't do that, because that indeed is not fair. We'd have to first do a chalukah and then give everyone what they need out of that chalek. So we don't continue to run the estate as a family in which different children are getting different proportions. So cholkin b'shave. Now, if nisu hagdolim, nisu haktanim, if the older children went ahead and got married off of the estate, so now that means that the younger children also have a right to get married off of the estate. So that already is acceptable. They can tell them, we want to get married the same way you get married. But if amru ktanim, hare anu nisim, kederach shi nisatem atem, if they turn around and say, we want to get married on the same level that you got married, they can't tina that. Now, this is a contradiction. You just said that they can. But if the older ones in the yard, then it's supposed to be b'shava. So the Gemara explains that we're talking about two different cases here. One case is talking about where the older ones got married after the death of the father. So over there, whatever is taken out of the estate by child number one is taken out of the estate by child number four. Same thing for the wedding. The second case is talking about where the older child got married b'chayeya av. So the father paid for a big wedding. Now, an unmarried child, after the death of the father, wants to get married on the cheshbon of the estate, saying, look, you know, I mean, dad paid for you for this big wedding, so I should be able to, it's only fair. There, that's ridiculous. Whatever a person gives b'chayav is irrelevant to the Yerusha. You can't, your father gave you a big gift, and therefore, out of the Yerusha come that big gift. Nobody's giving you the gift. So, Mamela, year two, you got married, fine. But that doesn't mean that the other one can get married. So that was a gift to the father. If Lamaisa, one goes in and gets married, then the other one can die, and I also want to get married, or to set aside money for my marriage, whatever. If the case is that the son got married to Chaye Aviv, so then he has no tviya at all. Now, exactly the same would be true, except for one very important detail, and being as this is the closing Mishnah of Yesh Nochalin, it, of course, introduces the sugya of the coming parak, as always, and points to the essential difference in a Yerusha that would be Kulo Banim versus a Yerusha that would be Kulo Banot. So on the surface, it's exactly the same. Let's say, hiniach bonot gedolot uktanot. So here we've got the same issue. The teenage daughters are going to Gap, and the little kids are being dragged to Gula. No. And vice versa. The teenage daughters are all bulimics and they're not eating anything. And the little kids are eating. So it's unfair, because they're spending more money on clothes and they're spending more money on food. So there, too, it's the same halacha. It's not fair for the teenagers to be buying clothes on the cheshbon of the younger kids. But on the other hand, the younger kids can't be buying food for them on the cheshbon of the older kids. They first do a chalukah. There too, if nisu hagdolot, if we used the joint estate to pay for a marriage for the older children, yisu ktanot. Ve'im amru ktanot. Now, this is, again, explained in the Gemara as, if the father had married off the older daughters, and now the ktanot are saying, we want to take our marriage money out of the estate as a whole before the chalukah, re'anonosot, k'derech sh'niseitem atem, the same way that you got married, because dad paid for your wedding, so the estate should pay for our wedding. Ein shomim lehem. Again, that's ridiculous. Whatever a person gave b'chayav doesn't make any impact on the Yerusha to claims of fairness by the other children. Life isn't fair. Now, the difference, however, is, here's the big point that introduces the next parak, zeh chomer bibanot mibibanim. However, there is a very important chomer when it comes to Yerushat HaBat over and above a Yerushat HaBen, and that has to do with the Tnai HaKtuvah of Benot Nukban. Because the Benot Nukban that we have together, Tnai HaKtuvah, which I'm really right, the din is that they are to be supported until maturity, or until they get married, whichever comes first. So then the tremendous difference kicks in, because that Tanai is only true if the daughters are not the heirs. If the daughters are the heirs, it's ridiculous to talk about being supported. They got all the money, what's supported? So if there are sons, remarkably, the daughters are going to be able to be tovot, the estate, and the sons may end up with nothing, because the daughters will taina. Look, I mean, you got to first be Mekayim the Tanai HaKtuvah. But if it's only daughters that are being Yoresh, one daughter can't sue against the other daughter. So because over there was it, but there was no Tanai HaKtuvah where you're a Yoreshet. So in that case, the older daughter may indeed get exactly the same as the younger daughter. Whereas if it were a son, the son might lose out entirely to the younger daughter. The Ktanot do not have any right to get their Parnassah. They only have a right to their Chelek. That's the point. So in a case where you have Banot, the Banot can be Nizonot al Habanim, meaning on the Cheshbet of the sons. They can get their Nizonot. But the Banot cannot be Nizonot against other Banot, because if they're only Banot, then they're all heiresses, and we didn't give a Tnai Ktuvah to an heiress. So therefore, she does have a right to be Tovat, or Ktuvah, so to speak. Tnai Ktuvah. And that comes against the estate before the Yerushaiva takes place. As a matter of fact, we will see in the beginning of the next parak, which we'll start today, that we actually set up a trust fund, and the Yerusha doesn't take place unless that trust fund is sufficiently well-funded. If it's well-funded, then there's a Yerusha. If it's not well-funded, there's not even a Yerusha at all. But that would never happen in the case of Banot. There won't be a trust fund. There'll simply be a Yerusha. Obviously, we might put their part of the Yerusha into trust in terms of an apotropos, yes, but that's after the Chalukah, not prior to the Chalukah. Amar Rava. Hai gedol achi, delavash, v'ifse mibeta, maida avad avad. The oldest brother, who is the one that represents the family in court and in Bituach Lumi and so on, so he has a right if he goes ahead and does it. Now, he ought to be careful, but even if he's not careful, and he goes ahead and he gets the nicest clothing and Gap, and so he's overpaid. Masha asui asui. What he did, maida avad avad, what he did is done. And he has a right to demand that they all have to accept it, even though they can yell at him and say, yeah, you couldn't have gotten cheaper clothing. Why is that? Doesn't it say in the Mishnah, I thought you can't have the older ones taking advantage of the younger ones? Ah, because the Mishnah, by saying that as a klal, that under any and all circumstances, one can't dress on the other, is talking about a loser. So if he's a loser, there's no advantage to the family in having a loser dress nicely.
They
could stop him. There, they'll have to pay. He'll have to deduct that chelik from his own chelik. So that's talking about a sharcha. Sharcha, how do they get out of it? He doesn't take the initiative to represent the family. So he doesn't do anything for them. So who needs him? Says the Gemara, sharcha pshita, I understand. So obviously, he's no different than the other. We were talking about a godol achi. I mean, a godol achi is by definition somebody that does take the initiative. No, isn't that the whole point? No, because ma'o de tema nechlu de lo ningva. You see, the fact is he may be a loser, but people look at him. So if he's a loser, it shouldn't at least look like a loser, you know? So maybe it's kedai for him to at least dress nice, so then people won't know he's a loser. Yeah, that's right. They come mashmalan, that's not a cheshbon. That's not considered to be of value that the family is mevateret, that he should be able to dress nicely. Nisu gedolim, nisu ketanim. I don't understand the Mishnah. Isn't it a contradiction? First you said that if the older ones got married, so then the younger ones get married. And then you turn right around the next line and you say, but if the younger ones say, we want to get married the way you got married, they can't get married. Now, how does that make sense? On Rav Yehuda, it's two separate cases. If nisu gedolim le'achar mitat aviyem. So then they got married out of the value of the estate. So then, obviously, everybody has the right to take that same value out of the estate. So then, nisuk tanim le'achar mitat aviyem. Aval nisuk gedolim b'chayei aviyem. If, however, the older ones were, their marriage was paid for by their father. So now the ketanim say, well, it's only fair that we shouldn't have to pay for our own wedding out of the chelik that's ours. The estate as a whole should pay for our wedding because, so to speak, the estate as a whole paid for your wedding. It's just that our father was alive. So over there, amru ketanim le'achar mitat aviyem. Harayonu nosim kederach shadas yiseitem atem. Then ain't shomim lehem. The only point is that was a gift. So mash natan lehem aviyem natan, obviously. But they can't claim that the gift needs to be made up for after the death of their father out of the estate. So then the same thing is true except for that last piece, which we'll get to. Shalach le'avua bar geniva l'rava. Yilamdenu rabbeinu. In a case where, and the only reason we're bringing this in is because the Mishnah seems to address it, as we'll see. In a case where a woman goes ahead and was lavta v'achla. So she took on now debts in order to be mitparnes. And then she goes in and she gets married. So now her student loans have become due, you know. And she's now got a husband. What is the din about the money at this point? Is the Baal a lokeach? Because now whatever money that she had has now been given over to the Baal. Either as Nechsei Malug or as Nechsei Tzon Barzel. And that Baal, is he considered to be a Yoresh in that money? Or is he considered to be a lokeach of that? A tremendous difference because, and now here we're not talking about Yoresh literally. In other words, she's still alive. That's not the point. But the question is the rights that were given to him. Were they given to him the equivalent of the rights of a Yoresh? And then he really will be a Yoresh when he is Yoresh. Or is he a lokeach? So he's always the one that is the buyer. Now there's a tremendous difference between the two because I'll tell you why I'm asking this question. If he's a lokeach, and then these student loans, let's say, would be milhal pet, the case where she was lava, she already used, ochla doesn't mean obviously literally used it only to eat. Just means, and it was consumed. It was consumed. So there's no money now to pay back. So then it's a milhal pet. The din is that a milhal pet, you can be govem and ayorshim. So then they're not mishubanim. But if he's a buyer, so now all of her nechasim mishubanim. So how's the lender going to collect from the nechasim mishubanim? That's the difference. So do we say that he's a lokeach havi and a milvape eno goveh min alakufot? Odema yoresh havi u milvape goveh min ayorshim? So this, of course, this is an abstraction. I mean, he's neither a buyer nor a yoresh. He's alive, she's alive. But the question is, the zechut that was rewarded to a baal in nirse ishto, which is an exchange for things that he's providing for her, like insurance against kidnapping or health insurance, and so on, as we saw in Ketuvot, you know, those things, how do we look at them? Do we look at them as a tit-for-tat exchange, or it's mamish like buying? Or is it that we give him the rights as if it was actually his? It makes a big nafkamina as to whether we view it as him standing in her place, or whether he's just a buyer now of the things that she bought. In this case, if he stands in his place, it's also bad, because he's going to have to pay. Of course, yeah. He's not responsible for her death.
And what type of nechazim?
She doesn't have rights to whatever she's machnisa. I mean, there's two types of nechazim. There's the nechazim that she gives over that are written up in the ketuvah, which is called nechazit zon barzel. He accepts achrayut on, where in the event of their being lost and his death, or there's no nechazim malud that he gets the right to be molek, so to speak. So he takes the perot of those things. But in either event, it's not in her rishus right now to be able to use. So what happens there? Omar lay, so he said, oh, that's the Mishnah that we just learned. Because the Mishnah says that if nisu ha-gdolot, now what happened if the gdolot were nisu? So then obviously if they got married, so whatever their chelik is in the property, it's given over to the husband like anything else. And yet it says yisuk tanot. So if yisuk tanot means from the estate, not from their own chelik in the estate. But this woman, I would assume, could also be talking about a case where they then subsequently gave everybody the pieces of the estate. She brings it into the family. The Baal takes over the rights to that piece. So who's going to pay? when you say yis'u ktanot. Obviously, the ktanot are able to recover it from the Baal's bank account, because he's now in control of this property. So why would that be true? If he's a buyer, they shouldn't be able to collect, because it's just a bil v'al peh. So if that's the case, must be that what the Mishnah is saying, my lab, nisu gedolot lebaal, yisu haktanot mihabaal. In other words, from that same husband, they will be able to recover money, which they'll say, now wait a minute, now that we're getting married, maybe it's 5 years later now, but now that we're getting married, and you took money out of the estate as the oldest daughter to get married, so now we want to recover that proportion of the money that has to be used for our chasana. So she'll say, but my husband has that money. So we go ahead and we take it away from the husband. How can we take it away from the husband if he bought it? Must be that he didn't buy it. It must be that he's a Yorish. And a Yorish, indeed, is going to have to take that tviyah, right? That's how else do you read the Mishnah? Nice to hear. Says the Gemara, maybe not. Maybe the way to understand it is Einachinami would have to be talking about that we didn't give that chelik to the Baal. So in other words, we were shamer that chelik, and when it says yisuk tanod, it means lo nasugidolod le baal yisuk tanod le baal. But it doesn't mean that if in fact someone was dumb enough to do it this way and there's no way to recover the money, it doesn't mean that there's an answer. So maybe there's really no way to recover the money. But is that true? Va'tani Rebbi Chiya nisugidolod le baal yisuk tanod mi baal. Says, but fairish not like that. So, what are you going to do about that? So you see, I was right. So you see, from here, clearly, it is your age. Maybe not. You know what? Maybe this is considered to be a milveh b'shtar. A milveh b'shtar creates a lien against the subsequent buyer. Because since everybody knows perfectly well that if someone was married, that they have tna'ei ketuvah that apply, even though they weren't written in a shtar, so then everyone knows that there's going to be a tviyah from the children for a wedding. So that's the parnasa. So Dilma Shine Parnasa di Itlakala. Maybe the guy says, well, I bought it. So, well, you bought it. So what if you bought it? There was a lien. I didn't know about that lien. Oh, you didn't know that there was a father? You didn't know that there was a marriage? What kind of woman did you think you married? So Mamela, we can collect it. But Enochinami, if it would be something else, the case of Lavta, he can say, well, I didn't know anything about any loans. I mean, why would I be responsible for loans? To Milvalpe? Isn't it obvious what the din is in that case as to the Lavta V'Ochla? I mean, that's the famous letter that Ravin sent over. Somebody dies, leaving only a daughter and his widow. So over there, the halacha is that there is obviously the Tanai HaKetuvah that the almanaz nizonet minachasav. So that indeed is what happens. Almanato nizonet minachasav. If the daughter went ahead and got married, you think that that prevents the nizonet of the almanah? Because the Baal takes control? Niseita abat, almanato nizonet minachasav. If now the daughter goes ahead and gets married, so now the almanah continues to get the mizonot from the nichsei habal. Meita habat. So now what about if the daughter dies and the Baal now is Yoresh, the wife? Omer of Yehuda, so the Omer of Yehuda ben Achotosh, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Ayadi, Ayamas, I had mamish such a mice like this that I had to go and bring to court. See what the halacha would be. V'omru almanah nizonet min chasav afterwards as well. Now look, min iamet b'shami yoresha. So then mishumachi almanah nizonet min chasav. Obviously, the whole point of the tnaya ketuvah that an almanah is continued to be supported for the estate means that whoever is the current yoresh of the estate is going to have to continue to pay for the almanah out of the estate. But suppose there is no current holder of the estate. Suppose we understand that initially the Baal was considered to be a lokeah. So then, after his wife dies, he's not really Yoresh either. He would still be a lokeah. So why in the world? Because the din is that mizonot of an almanah are never collected from a buyer. Ever. Because there's another problem there. And that is, there's no time limit on it. And remember, the overall takanat hashuk, we never allow liens that don't have a maximum. There's no maximum. Because who knows? Maybe this woman will go on living another 50 years. So who's going to buy something where he may end up losing every penny he put in, where he has no idea how long he's going to have this tviyah against him? I mean, he's not an insurance company You know, he's dealing with one person. He's not going to take a risk if he's dealing with one person. There's no actuary tables that he's going to apply to his own purchase. It's going to kill the market. You know, I'm going to buy so that I now have to worry about what the future holds. So we made a takana that there's no liens under such circumstances. So there you can't answer that it's as if it's written because he knows, even if he knows. There's a takana sashuk that you can't collect this against the buyer. So how do you explain that? There's only one possibility, that he's a yoresh. That's the problem. So if you're going to tie in his yoresh, fine. But if you're going to tell me that he starts off as a lokeah, so then why in the world would he ever have to pay that? Then there's ein motzi in the mazon because of tikkun olam. Omra Abaye, I don't get what you're saying. You're saying, don't we know this from Ravin? I mean, you got to be kidding. You think we know it from Ravin? I know it's that I know from a Mefarsh Mishnah. I don't need no letter from Ravin. Ilav teshalach Ravin hanan lo yadina. You're telling me we wouldn't know that? I mean, what do you do with the Mishnah? Vatnan, does it not say, Beferush in Bechorot, Elu hein she'en chozrim biyovel. The following things are not returned in Yovel as if they were purchased. The Chelek HaBechora is not returned in Yovel. Someone who is Yoresh et Ishto is not returned in Yovel. No, not returned in Yovel means that the Baal is a true Yoresh. Not that he was a lokeach, because Lamaisa, if lechatchila we gave him a din of a lokeach, so then it would never have changed. I mean, how did it all of a sudden become more than a lokeach? So the situation bechayav b'motor exactly the same. If we're telling us over here that it's not chazer b'yovel, so now you're saying that he is really midiraisi is a yoresh, because we wouldn't have made a takana not chazer b'yovel. Midiraisi is a yoresh. That must mean that he never started off as a buyer. So that means that the Takarat Chachamim originally that he should have a Zechut was always in terms of Yerusha. So what are you telling me? I have a Raya from a letter to Shalach Ravid. Something is wrong over here. Amalei Ravid, well, I got news for you. Even now that we have such a letter, it doesn't prove anything. None of this proves anything. Miyadina, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Bu'usha Hitkinu, that Isha Shemachra Nechsei Malok, Bechaye Ba'ala V'meta, Habal Motzi Miyad HaLekuchot. So what was the famous Takanat Usha, to where Sanhedrin, one of the Galut of the Sanhedrin, by the Churban HaBayit, before and after, is Usha. And in Usha, the famous Takanat Usha, is that if a woman goes ahead and sold Nechsei Malug, now remember Nechsei Malug, or Nechosim, that she has a right to the Gufa Karka, but the husband is Moleg, so to speak. She's able to pluck off all of the production of the Karka, which means that he gets a right to all of the Perot, and she gets to keep the Guf, and he's not responsible for any hefsed in it. He didn't write it down that I owe you this kanal or high water, which is called Nechsei Tzon Barzo, because it's as if they're metallic. They're not going to be mufsat. So the din over there is, so let's say she had gotten this Karka now, herself Birusha. So those things now, Lechora, she would have a right to sell. So suppose she goes ahead and she sells it. The din is that the Baal can come along and can take it away from the Lekuchot. So if he can come and take it away from the Lekuchot, so what does that show you? Whose lien comes first? Okay, so that means that he is now able to take away from a Lekuchot because he has a lien against it. So if that's the case, now, that means that on the one hand, we're talking about a Baal who gets a din of a Yoresh, but on the other hand, we're giving him a din of a Lokeach. And not only of a Stam Lokeach, he's a Lokeach who is considered to have, at the moment of the Nisuin, a lien as a Lokeach. So therefore, anybody that purchased this Karka first is going to run up against the lien of a husband. And he's going to say, look, it's very nice that you bought this for my wife. I'm sorry to tell you that I have a pre-existing lien. So the guy says to him, what do you mean you have a pre-existing lien? Your wife just died and you were yours the karka. You never owned the gufa karka. So obviously the takanat usha means that we viewed the coming into the nature of the nisuin as a rights, all rights given to the Baal, provide him pre-existing liens. So then that's not a yerusha. So how could you think that because you have Ravin's letter, or because you have this Mishnah, therefore you have a right to come up with a clear-cut answer about our case of a debt that did not have a contract with it, and you're questioning whether the Baal would be able to be nitba through this debt, and here I'm bringing you contradictions. Because on the one hand, we have Takanat Usha. It gives him a din of a lokeach. If he's a lokeach, then obviously there can't be any way to be toveya him, and yet you just brought me Raya that it's not chazer b'yovel, which means he's a yoresh. So anyway, something is wrong. In other words, we've got contradictions in Psak which do not allow you to come along and paskin what the din would be of Laftava Achna. Because on the one hand, we're being clearly shown that he's a din of a Yoresh. And on the other hand, we're being clearly shown that he has a din of a Lokeah. So how are you going to apply the din? Ela Amar Ravashi. Okay, I'll tell you. It's clear that there is no blanket definition of what the Baal is. That's what is so confusing over here. It must mean that Baal, Shavyul Rabbanan Ki Yoresh, Vish Shavyul Rabbanan Ki Lokeah. Basically, they wanted to empower him. Echa de tavalei avdule. So whatever is more empowering to the Baal, depending on the circumstances, but we'll see that this means only where there's no hefsid for anyone else. So they empowered him, unless there's special reasons to allow that hefsid. It becomes a complex halach. But on the surface, what we're trying to do is empower the Baal. So therefore, gabe yovel. If you're talking about yovel, so over there, the Rabbanan say, well, look, if he would be a lokeah, he'd have to return the Chelek HaIsha to the Yorshe HaIsha. In Yovel, that's not good for him. So therefore, they're mitakein that he is actually a Yoresh. Now, this is not really true, because since it's not Chozer B'Yovel, it means that Midiorayta he's considered to be a Yoresh. That was a Machlokas, Yerusha Zabal, the Yorayta de Rabbanan that we spoke about earlier. If you're telling me it's not Chozer B'Yovel, it means, as the Gemara elsewhere says, that he's considered to be a Yoresh de Yorayta. So Tosfos says all it means over here is that Shavua Rabbanan, they left him with that din. So they didn't put the halacha that is a lokeach as something that would undermine the halacha that otherwise would have been given to him as a yorech, because it was advantageous for him to remain a yorech. Now, on the other hand, that's Mishum Seder Didei. Okay, now, the same thing would be true in the cases that we had where it would be more beneficial to be otherwise. So, Gavi de Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Chanina. So what were the cases that we had over here? Our first case, which we're looking for a solution to, that was the Ibaya. The Ibaya was the case of Lofta, and that was Avua, that was the child of Geneva, that asked that question. So we went along now, and we brought the cases of Robin's Igarta, that an Almana is Nizonet. And she would be Nizonet on the circumstances where the Bat went ahead and got married, and she would also be considered to be Nizonet. Now that, Lechora, would have been beneficial to tell him that he's a Lokea, because then she wouldn't be able to be Nizonet. And yet, surprisingly, we're saying over here that these cases also take into consideration the possibility of her loss. So there. So Gabi de Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina, Shavua Rabbanan Kelokea, Mishum Seder Didei. Gabi de Ravin, Mishum Seder Da Amana, Shavua de Rabbanan Keyoresh. Now, we're going to ask on this in a moment. But apparently, when you're saying by Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina, what happened over there that the Lekuchot are unable to recover? So why don't we worry about the Pseida de Lekuchot? Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina's case here is the case of Usha. Anybody who bought from the woman is up the creek without a paddle. They thought that they would be able to collect that karka, because after all, she had the rights to the gufa karka. This Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Chanina comes along and says, no, v'ushe itkinu, and you're telling me, wait a second, so now you just quoted two cases. You quoted the case of the ben achoto, just as a coincidence of Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Chanina, that is covered by the letter of Ravin, and you said over there, well, you got to worry about the almana. If we're going to give the Baal a din of a lokeach, so then he's going to be mafsid the almana. See, even though I said the chatchila, we have to be worrying at how to strengthen the position of the Baal, we would never do that against the almana, his mother-in-law. So, but when it comes to the takanat usha, then we say, no, we're going to be mitakein, that even though he had a din of a yoresh, but he right of vis-a-vis yovel, but since we don't want him to lose out to the lekuchot, we're going to give him a din of a pre-existing lokeach. So I don't get it. When it comes to the almana, we worry about the almana. But when it comes to lokeach, we put out money. We say, too bad. How do you explain that? Asks the Gemara. So what about the case of Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina and Usha? Nonetheless, Shavir Rabban and Kalokeach. Ah, that's true. But Hatam, Inu Afsidu Anafshay. Because given the Ikabal, Lo Iboilu La Mizvan Miitita, the Yatvik Tutigavar. The way that they handled initially was inappropriate. Because Lamaisa, this guy is married. He believes that he has Nichsei Malug basically in the bank, so that he can't lose. Meanwhile, he gets the payout. If his wife predeceases him, he's going to collect the karka. These guys come along and, under his nose, attempt to buy out the rights from his wife which is a nasty thing to do. In other words, it's okay for his rights of the property. And they go to the wife and say, look, you know, let's not involve your husband. You can make some money on the side. So we'll pay you so that in the event that you die, we should be able to get this field. Because we bought, that's not nice. So if they want to do that, we're not going to make a takonet that the Baal should lose. We're trying to be mechazik him because these guys took a risk with their money. Let them lose their money. That we're not concerned about. The case of the mother-in-law, the almanah, there, of course, we are concerned about. Now, the shaila is, what about here? What about our case? The Gemara leaves that hanging. We start off with abaya and we never end up with what's the solution to the abaya? That's interesting. That's a machlokes because we're showing him. So the Rashbam here, the Rebbeinu Chanan will say, well, did we not just say that the only reason that we were mafsid the lekuchot is only because inu afsid the anafshayu? But that's not a general rule. So that in a case where she was lav sava achla, we're over there, nobody was mafsid anafshayu. So there, apparently, we would be concerned. And that's no different than the pseida of the almana. In which case, we will not enhance the Baal's position to be a lokeach, to be mafsid, the lav sava achla. Because she's considered to be lekuchos, and therefore, for the purposes of collection, whoever was who lent her the money initially should be able to collect over here. Because why suggest that there's something between the two extremes of the almana that we're protecting and the lukuchot that we're not protecting? The only reason we weren't protecting them was because of the fact that they did something that was a little bit iffy. So Mamela, what the Gemara is assuming, is that we're coming out with, we will always protect the lukuchot, since be'ikar hadin, the Baal is considered to be a yoresh, as we see in terms of the din of Yovel. If he's a yoresh, so then he doesn't have pre-existing liens that protect his property with a shibud. And therefore he's going to pay off the debts, like any other yoresh would have to pay off the debts. Yeah, and they'll stop doing it.
Which is the idea.
That's the idea, exactly. Selling out the property that's part of the family, because it creates tremendous tensions. So therefore, we enhance the chelik of the Baal. Now, all of this approach was the approach of the Rashbam. The approach of the Rashbam is it's an either-or proposition. In other words, what we're talking about over here is the position of the Baal both in the life of his wife and after the death of his wife. Because you see that we weren't mechalik all along. So having once established the din that he would be, let's say, Michaim, he would have had a din of a lokeach, we wouldn't have changed that la'achar mitah to say, well, once he was a lokeach, that now we'll change it and we'll say, well, okay, let's now view him as a yoresh. I mean, no lokeach becomes a yoresh. Tosfos disagrees with that whole approach. And the question over here is that when we brought the original raya from the letter and so on, that doesn't prove anything, because that's talking about that he's a yoresh l'achar mita. That's what we're saying. We're not going to disagree with that, but it doesn't help us, is what we're pointing out. Because our question was, what would be his status b'chayav? And that's what we're saying. And now that we have it, we do know. We don't. Maybe there's a difference between b'chayav u'le'achar moto. And then indeed, the Gemara talks out the way in which we would fundamentally distribute the property. Hadron alagayesh nochlin. Mishamet. Now, as a continuation of the closing sugya that we just had, in which we said there's a tremendous difference between the rights of benat nukvan in, as it's tanai ketuvah, in a property that they want to use to collect their tanai. And therefore, they have a right to collect from banim, but don't have a right to collect from banot. Now, we didn't explain ourselves very well, because the question is, how exactly do we assure that type of collection against the banim? We said, we made it seem like, again, is that we have a tfusat habayit. And we said, when we're eating from the tfusat habayit, which is that the estate continues to remain whole, there is one difference between the banot, where banot are the sole heiresses, and banim, where there are also banot who are not heiresses. What is that difference? They maintain a tviyah against the estate when it comes to banim, and have no tviyah, because each one is an heiress of their own chelek, when it comes to banot. The question is, what if there's no estate? In other words, we're talking about an estate. Money fell to the banim. We split the money. We gave it to the banim. Well, I would think so. So where do we exactly assure this property of, and I mean property is a lot, I mean the property of a ketuvah that assures now mizonot for a child, a female child. So now the Mishnah comes to tell us an amazing thing. It's assured by putting the estate into trust prior to the Yerusha. So that first we need to analyze whether there is a Yerusha. And then we can discuss how much the banim will get out of that Yerusha. Now, this is quite complicated because the question is, I mean, we're talking about, again, actuary tables, right? It's all futures. In other words, do we really know what it's going to, when are they going to get married, these daughters? Who knows? So do we know exactly how much it costs? We know current value.
Support them until they get married.
Yeah, we know current value of what it costs to support them. How much will it cost in another 3 years in the event that they don't get married? So this is all very confusing. And this, of course, is going to be part of what the Gemara is going to get into. But the Mishnah tries to make it very simple by confusing us. And so it says, Misha made, somebody dies, leaving Banim Uvanot, which immediately now raises the question of the Tnai HaKetuvah to provide for the Banot. So Bizman Shanichasim Merubim, if there's lots of money to go around, what is lots of money? We have no idea. So then Habanim Yirshu, so then let the Banim get their Yerusha. And habanot yizano, then there'll be money to give the daughters their mizanot. But if you have nechasim muatim, then the banot yizano, so then we set aside, give the money to the banot, and let the banim become beggars. So habanim yishalu ala patachim, let them beg on the doors, who cares? The tnai haktuva came first, and there's no money, so what can you do? Now, this is very strange. Really, there's no money. That implies that the only thing we take into consideration in the money is the daughters. But in other words, even for the mizonot of the banim, we don't take that into consideration, which is weird. So, Admon Omer, what, we don't have enough of this women's livestock? Bishil Shani Zachari Sarati, enough is enough. I mean, there's aflaya met takenet. I mean, but enough is enough. Just because I'm a male, so I should go banging on the doors?
Men's rights.
Exactly. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, I think he's right. Men also have rights in the world. Ro'eh aniyet divrei Admon. Says, what is this all about? I mean, how do you use the word merubim and muatim? What is that supposed to mean? The kama merubim, when we say that there's a lot of money, meaning what? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, what it means is that if there's sufficient for a year's support for both male and female, so then we assume that we can deal with a year at a time, and that's all that we need now to provide for the sons. Yeah. Think out what he's saying, because what he's saying makes no sense. But if it's less than that, means less than a year of support for the sons and the daughters, right? Then the boys should go banging on the doors. And what happened to the part that was theirs? What he just said makes no sense, because the Mishnah makes a clear distinction. There's two sets. One set is v'chasim merubim, so then fine. But if there's v'chasim muatim, which you just defined as not enough for the boys and girls, but there's enough for 90% for the boys. You just said there's not enough for a whole year. So then the boys should go banging on the doors. When? Today? And what about the 90% that was available for them? How do you make a rule like this? This doesn't make any sense. That the Gemara is going to get at to in a moment. But first we need to know whether indeed is 12 months the way to analyze it, so that we don't have to worry about the future. We only worry about 12 months. Ki Amrita, so continues Rav Yehuda, who said, that's what I heard from Rav. Now, when I said over Rav's psak to Shmuel, so he said, Zo divrei Rabbi Gamliel bar Rabbi. Well, there is such a sheet. However, you should know it's a das yochid. Aval chachamim omrim, kidei sheyizonu meyam elu veelu ad sheyibagru. That actually, a year is not the way we look at it. We look at the full possibility of what it's going to end up costing. And since the commitment in the ketuvah to the banot is until such time as they reach maturity, the same thing would be true of the banim. And in that, they're even, because that's parnasah. So the parnasah goes to both of them evenly. And indeed, itmar nami. Ki ata ravim, amar Rabbi Yochanan. Some say amar Rabba Barachan, amar Rabbi Yochanan. The case is defined as merubim, where koshi yizonami am elu ve'elu. Ad shi bagru, that's merubim. Pachot mikan, hare elu mu'atim. And I don't get it. So then you're saying, ilek ala elu ve'elu, ad shi bagru, then shakli levanot lekulu? You're saying there's not enough for the male and the female. So let's analyze what that means. It means that if I work out that I have 100% what the women would need and 99.9% of what the boys would need, then the girls take all. That's what you ended up saying. I mean, you're calling that muatim. And the Mishnah says if there's muatim, so then the banot take, and the banim should be mafsid. That's what you said. So how do you divide it in such a crazy way? Why wouldn't the banim get whatever it is that they need? Ela Amar Rava. Well, obviously, I mean, you're misunderstanding this. The point is, the Mishnah is just trying to simplify. I mean, but it's not stupid. It means that Motzim Lem Mizonot LeBanot Achi Bagru. What it means is that you need to protect in a trust fund the money for the banot, and then whatever is left. would go to the banim. But then, of course, that ends up saying, Mishnah saying nothing. Then all you needed to say was, examine, set aside the money for the banim, period. What do you mean? Muatim, merubin, and then we, and what, why did we take the value of the banim into account? Then, I mean, Rav is saying, no, you misunderstand. What do you mean, misunderstand? Everybody's giving me a shir about Elul Ve'Elul, you're saying I misunderstand. Now the whole Mishnah completely makes no sense. The Mishnah defined two sets, merubin, muatim. And the way Rava just explained the Mishnah, no, there's only one issue. Set aside the money for the banot in a trust fund, which is against the Mishnah. It's against everybody's shot in the Mishnah. What is Rava talking about? So there's clearly another question that the Mishnah is focusing on. Now, exactly how to understand that other question is a machlokas rishonim. But note the words. Bizman shenechasim merubim habanim yirshu v'habanot yizonu. Hanechasim muatim, so their habanot yizonu v'habanim yishalu al haptachim, in the sense of they're not getting a Yerusha. That's the point. So therefore, the real issue, that I mean, there are definitely two sets. Here's how to define the two sets, the way that the Gemara just explained it. In the event that there's sufficient money to bring everyone to maturity. Okay, so now there's an estate. Once there's an estate, there's a Yerusha. That Yerusha is given. So you'll say, so who cares? I mean, Lamaisa, the Banot are going to have a Tviyah. No, that estate is given as is, and there's no longer a Tviyah. In other words, it's now guaranteed against further Tviyah. The trust fund becomes the entire Tviyah. Masha'inken, if there's insufficient money to provide for Parnasa till maturity, there's no Yerusha at all. So that money would always be set aside. And there's a tremendous nafkamina, because let's say the price of food goes up. So now, if there was a Yerusha, then the trust fund, even if it doesn't suffice, tough. But if Lamaisa, all of the money was put into trust and it was set aside as a single trust fund that was based on an estimate of what it would cost to support the boys and the girls. Now it turns out costs have doubled. Then the boys will get nothing because the trust fund is not sufficient to provide. And the tviyah of the women was indeed against the trust fund. So there they have that right. And even if there was a Yerusha they couldn't get, but from the trust fund they could definitely get. So that would be a tremendous nafkamina. Now there is a machlokas rishonim lamaisa about once there is enough, is there a trust fund? Because there's a whole group of rishonim that hold that this defines a yes or no in terms of trust fund versus Yerusha. If it's put into trust, then there's no Yerusha. If there's enough for Yerusha, everything is put into Yerusha. And there's no chisun of the Yerusha against the Tviyah. The only difference is that now the boys are, if they're youngsters, obviously it's given anyway to an apotropos. But the point is that all of the money is now available as the estate to invest and to do whatever, taking whatever risks are normally taken. And the banot are going to be able to collect out of the money that comes into the Yerusha. Because there's enough money for there to be Yerusha, we don't have to worry about what's going to happen to the banot. But that's where I'm making the difference between muatim and merubin. So in other words, assuming that there's enough money that things are not going to go to pot and the girls are going to be left without anything, so then fine, then give them the Yerusha. The way you'd always give a Yerusha, and there's always a tviyah against the Yerusha.
Don't split it.
Yeah.
Split it?
Whatever the case is, if there's one son, then he gets it. If there's two sons, they'll split it. That's irrelevant. The daughters don't split. You keep using the daughters will never split.
But the daughters, Kalik, with them.
There is no Kalik. The daughters have a guarantee for Parnassus. That's all they have. So if there's enough money, we don't need to protect that guarantee. They have the same guarantee they always have.
Once it's all split among the boys, so each has to give.
If the father hadn't died, we would have set up a trust fund. No. The father was committed to... So the estate is the father. That's all. Same thing. So just like we understand that we wouldn't have set up a trust fund from the father in his lifetime, we will not set up a trust fund against the estate in his death. It's the same situation. But if we're looking and we're saying, oh my God, now that we see what this guy left after he died, there's not enough that we can really be sure. If we give it over as a Yerusha, it's going to become gobbled up because there's barely enough to support their actual hotzaot right now. So then we start worrying. Oh, now if that's the case, we have to set aside a trust fund instead of a Yerusha. But once there's enough to satisfy us, that Lamaisa, there's enough money to go around, okay, so then make it a Yerusha. That's not the Rashbam's approach. Rashbam's approach is there's always going to be a trust fund, but the Yerusha will sit there separately. Okay, but so again, just to be misaken, this is quite complex. The Mishnah raises the issue of two sets, one in which there's a Yerusha, b'nechasim merubin, and one in which there's no Yerusha at all, b'nechasim muatim. It says that the boy should go out and bang on the doors. That doesn't really mean what it seems to mean, is all that Rav is explaining. So it does not mean that if there's not enough to support the boys now for the full time that it would take them to reach maturity, that we don't give them anything because we want to continue to protect the girls. That's not what it means. Of course, that's not what it means. It means that the trust fund is there to protect them. However, if Lamaisa, the girls, are the ones that have to be taken care of, and the price goes up, so the girls come first. That's all that it's saying. If it comes down to that, that the boys will end up banging on the doors, then it'll come down to that. As far as the other question, what happens in the case of the Fasim Merubim? So then there's a Yerusha. Now, whether that Yerusha exists above and beyond and separately from the trust fund, or whether now we won't need to set up a trust fund because the Yerusha is seen as the continued presence of the father, that's a machlokas between the Rishonim. Mainly the Rashbam Shita and Ramban Shita, but there's a lot of Rishonim that get in the argument. Ha'av toleshu ma'achil l'chol mi shiirtze, u'ma'a shiniach tolush, areyu shal yorshim. Tolush in mechubar lo, v'atan yashaminat ha'mechubarim l'lokeach, omer l'lokash, yakan bibno, kan ba'acher. And since he sold it, it's basically ba'acher. Ho'il v'da'ato shal adam krova etzo b'no, to be mashir him anything that's mechubar l'karaka under any circumstances. Hidiach banim gedolim uktanim, ena gedolim mitpanasim al yedei haketanim v'lo haketanim dizonim al hagedolim, ela first chokim b'shava. Nisu hagedolim, yisu haketanim, v'im amru ketanim, arei anu nosim kederach shniseitem atem, en shomim lehem. Ela ma shenatan lemaviyem in his lifetime, natan, and the tough for the others. Same thing is true of banot. Iniach banot gedolot uktanot ena gedolot mitpanasot al yedei haketanot v'lo haketanot nizonot al hagedolot ela chokot b'shaveh. Nisu gedolot yisu ketanot v'im amru ketanot arei anu nosot kederach shniseitem atem ein shomim lahem. Ze chomer bibanot bibanim shabanot nizonot al habanim v'ein nizonot al habanot. Omar Rava, hay gedol achi delovash v'yechse mibeite maida avar avad. Nah, that's talking about losers, baby. So that's sharka. Sharka? Pshita? Mother day manechel lolim vel at least. Kamash velam. Nisu gedolim. Nisu ketanim. My kamar. Omer of Yudah, it's two different cases. Archi kamar. Nisu gedolim la'achar mitat avihem. So then nisu ketanim la'achar mitat avihem. Aval. Nisu gedolim b'chaye avihem. And now the ketanim are insisting la'achar mitat avihem, that they also want to be nosim kederach shniseitem atem, ein shomim lahem, ala mashatan maviyem bechayav, natan. Hiniyam banot gedolot uktanot, sholach leyavur bar geniva l'rovi lamdeinu rabbeinu, laftavi achlavi amdavin is eit bal, lokeach avi yorish avi. Do we say lokeach avi in a milvalpe inu govem in al kukot? Or do my yorish avi in even a milvalpe is govem in a yorish? Omer lei, that's the Mishnah. Nisu gedolot yisu ktanot. What does that mean? In my love, nisu gedolot li baal yisu ktanot from the money that's in the reshus of the baal, right? Mi baal. No, maybe it means nisu gedolot li baal yisu ktanot li baal. Really not. V'otani Reb Chiya nisu gedolot baal yisu ktanot mi baal. Well, maybe shiny parnasad eat like kala, and therefore it's considered to be a milva b'shtar. Omer Reb Papa l'rova lav hainet ashalach rovin b'igarte. Mishemet viniach almana v'bat almanaton izonet minechasav niseit habat almanaton izonet minechasav meita habat omre v'yira benachoto shorbiyas v'rebchanina ayadi ayam ha'ase v'amru almanaton izonet minechasav. So now i'amet b'shleima yoresh avi. So then mishumach almanaton izonet minechasav eli i'amet lokeach avi amayin izonet minechasav. Omer Abaye, and if not for that, ilav de shalach rovin, anan lo yadina, tefer shemishnah. Vatzan elu hein she'en chuzrin biyovel, abichora v'hayoresh et ishto. Omer Rava, yeah, so now you think you know everything. Hashter shalach, we still don't know. Because Omer Abiezer, v'chanina b'ushi, t'kinesh shabachro b'nichse malug, b'chaye ba'ala, u'meta, ha'ba'al motzimi ara lakuchot. Elam Ravashi, look, it really depends on the case. Baal Shavyor Rabbanu Kiyoresh, on the other hand, Shavyor Rabbanu Kilokeach. Okay, so now, Heichad Tavale Avdulay. So Gabi Yovel, it means Shavyor Rabbanu, meaning they left him on the Dioraita, That is the Adin of Yoresh. That's what Shum say to the day, because otherwise you'll have to give it back in Yovel. Gabi, the Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, in terms of Takanat Usha, there, Shavina Rabbana Kelokeach, because otherwise Mishum Psedini Day, he would have to give away the property because he never inherited it because his wife sold it out from under his nose. Gabi Doravin, the case of the Almana, over there, Mishum Psedid Almana, Shavina Rabbana Kelokeach. Wait a minute, and by Rabbi Yosef Bechanina's case in Usha, where he kept Psedid Lukuchot, you didn't care about Psedid Lukuchot, why not? Shavina Rabbana Kelokeach. Hotam, inu afsidu an afshayah, they're not good nicks. Given the Kabbal, loy boy lo na mizma mita ta deyatva tutwe kavra. Misha made vini abanim abanot bizman shen achasim rubim abanim yirshu vabanot izonu. Nechasim muatim abanot izonu vabanot yishalu al aptachnim as far as we're concerned. Admon omer, that's not fair. Bishvil shani zachari sadati. Omer Rabban Gamliel, roya na yitivre admon. Now, you say merubim and muatim as if it's some kind of well-defined value. Kama merubim. Well, that is a dat yachid. Zudevri begam liol barevi. Aval kachamim omrim kadeshi yizonu mihem elu velo achi bagru. It manamiket a ravin amar Rabbi Yochanan. Some say it was Rabbi Barbachon amar Rabbi Yochanan. Koshi yizonu mihem elu velo achi bagru. That's what we mean by mirubim. Pachod mikan are elu muatim. I don't understand what you're saying. So, ilekala elu vila elu, achi bagru, but there's only 99%. So then what? The banot take the whole deal? That's ridiculous. Shakli banot the kulu? Elo amar rabba, well, it means motzimem mizonot the banot, achi bagru, but obviously when it says, yishalu ala ptachim, that's talking about if we run out of the mizonot, obviously. But if we don't, so then of course they'll use whatever is available.